Ngā mihi nui kia koutou katoa. If you're a young Māori looking to own your own home, imagine one on wheels with bedrooms and an upstairs. No money owed on it and none of the hassle of a consents process. My next guest, Maia Rātana, Hiuri no Te Arawa, has done just that. She's part of a group of three researchers who make up the Rangatahi Ahu for Kāinga Tahi Kāinga Rua, the flagship Māori housing research program for the better building homes, towns and cities. She joins me now. Maia, tēnā koe.
Kia ora, Julian.
Ngā mihi nui kia koe. Thank you so much for your time. Tell us about this home on wheels you built.
So I have built a tiny house, essentially, which tiny houses are becoming a really popular option for lots of people here in Aotearoa. And so we have a tiny house up north in Ngungaru on the Tutukaka coast, just out of Whangarei. It's two bedrooms, so we have a sort of mezzanine space for myself and my partner and another bedroom for my son. It's got a full kitchen, full bathroom, everything, but it is 9 by 2.8 metres and 4.2 metres tall, and it's on wheels. So by being on wheels, it allows us to not have to get any consent because it is insured as a caravan. And so we've been able to do it quite easily, put it on some whānau land, and as a result, not have to deal with council. We've been able to do a lot of the work ourselves and basically live quite freely because we don't owe any money in rent or mortgage. It's been a really awesome option for us.
How did you come up? What was the process you went through to develop an idea like that?
Well, I actually have an architectural background. So I teach architecture at Unitec currently. Also do a lot of research, as you mentioned, in the housing space. But it's becoming, a really popular option, and there's quite a few companies now that build solely tiny houses. And so we were looking at buying, obviously, and was proving to be really difficult. We were right in the peak of the height of the market and just kept missing out on opportunities to buy. We had money. We had some PTS to buy, but just the nature of the market at the time. And so we started looking at alternative options, and this was something that really appealed to us. So we sort of started that journey during lockdown in Auckland, and have now been sort of living in it for about a year, and we've actually just moved back to Tāmaki, so we're not currently living in it, but it's there for us if you know circumstances change, and we look forward to going back to it on the weekends to keep working on it and hopefully live in it again soon.
There's obviously a lot of conversations and discussions about what solutions exist and could exist for Māori wanting to own a home, particularly rangatahi Māori wanting to own a home. And I know you've done a bit of a podcast with, I think, 10 rangatahi for a new series. What stories have you heard from them about not only solutions that potentially are available, but just the hardships and trauma and turmoil of having to go through things like this?
Yeah, a real mixture. I think the podcast series that you speak of, we interviewed 10 rangatahi, right, talking to them about things from homelessness right through to home ownership. And there's some really interesting stories coming out. Obviously, home ownership is not an easy pathway for rangatahi. And so there are some options out there that have come about, such as shared equity, which is a really great option for rangatahi who are struggling to come up with the deposit they need to get into home ownership. But some of the barriers, I mean, there's research out there that shows that those who identify as Māori are more likely to be discriminated in the housing and the finance sector. So there's all sorts of things weighing against rangatahi. So, some of the research we've done also shows that rangatahi feel all that stuff. When we ask them about how they feel like they're perceived in society, a lot of it, you know, they feel a lot of that those negative perceptions around how they're stereotyped and how they struggle to get even into rental properties, let alone home ownership. But, yeah, those are all really real concerns.
Are rangatahi aware of the mix of solutions available, or are services providing enough information to be able to provide solutions for home ownership, for being able to build homes, the likes of which you have already developed in your own case?
Our research says no. One of the key things that came out of our research was that rangatahi lacked the skills and understanding and education around how to secure a home, whether that be a rental, whether that be transitional, whether that be home ownership. There is not enough information out there. There's not enough accessible information for rangatahi, and so they're really struggling to understand processes.
The other thing, Maya, that comes to mind for me listening to you talk about this is that this is an ability to be able to essentially, if you're part of a trust or whānau have whenua at home, that you can get something at home to go back to. So say, for example, you're in Tāmaki at the moment, but when able, you can go back to Tutukaka, back to this home. How secure is it? And is this a growing trend or the potential to have to be a growing trend?
I think it definitely has potential to be a growing trend for Māori. It's definitely becoming a bigger trend for the general population, and lots of people are choosing to go down this route as opposed to the sort of standard home ownership options or even renting. You know, renting is becoming a much more normal situation for a lot of people. I think this is definitely a great option and definitely a potential for rangatahi and for Māori, especially on whenua Māori. I think there's definitely more talks that need to happen with iwi around how tiny homes can be a better option. And some are doing it. There are quite a few also around the motu who are engaging in tiny houses as an option for housing our people.
Maya, in the research, what have you found about government policy and how it helps or doesn't actually help, which may be the case?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a mixed bag. What research is sort of telling us is that, you know, in the 60s and 70s and 80s, even housing for government support was far better than it currently is. With the reforms that happened in the early 90s and the privatisation of the housing sector, Māori home ownership dropped rapidly in the last. Over the 90s, early 2000s, and even now. So it's continuing to drop. And so I think there needs to be some real serious intervention from the government to make things better for rangatahi, because rangatahi make up a huge amount of the Māori population. Half of the Māori population is under 24. So the decisions that we're making today are going to have a huge impact on our rangatahi in the future and their ability to create safe and secure homes for them and their whānau and, you know, mokopuna to come. So I think there's a lot of work to still be done in that space.
Maya, tēnā koe, Yeni Kōrero, thanks so much for giving us your time and talking about this and listening to you. You know, someone who comes from up north could be an option. I'm not rangatahi, but nevertheless, it's good to be able to have a kōrero about these things and consider options and put information out there. Tēnā koe, yō mahi, ngā mihi nui kia koe.
Ngā mihi kia koe, Julia.
Kia ora maira, Maya Rātana, there.